Hi, everyone. I'm Vince.
And I'm Emily.
And you're listening to The Lighthouse Lowdown. Welcome to the show.
One of the very few times I get to touch this button.
Don't look at the screen for a second.
Okay.
Got to get up our slides. All right. Let's go into the very last slide. So I'm going to go to the beginning. All right.
I didn't look.
Now we're on.
Excellent.
And I'm at a 200% zoom on my screen. So as you may hear, we're a little bit rusty, especially myself, behind the microphone. That? So we're back in the game. Welcome to episode 73.
Welcome.
Is there anything you want to say about today before we get taken off?
Any pointers? Well, I have returned to the Lucky Charms latte that I had from Scooters last time. And I'm having it again, even though now I'm supposed to be on a diet. You may proceed.
Everybody understands that. So, first thing first. Today we're going to talk about one golf course, two lighthouses.
Wait, what?
I know.
I thought when I first saw it on the screen, I thought that you were going to be covering, I don't know, multiple golf courses, multiple lighthouses.
Really?
But this seems to be more interesting.
Why did you think that? Where did you see that?
Because I remember you saying that you wanted to do coverage of lighthouses at golf courses.
Mm.
So I figured that was going to be more of a expansive coverage.
I kind of gave that away, huh?
I like this.
Our partner, Joey the cat, has settled in.
Good. He's ready to listen too.
So
here comes Bo. He also wants to do that.
But
I mean,
also
I guess I'll
cat.
Try. If everybody else is in here, then I guess I will too.
So one golf course, two lighthouses, episode 73, the lighthouse history buoy for the day. What do you think?
You have one.
Of course.
How many golf balls have broken lighthouse windows?
I don't know. But the history buoy of the day is, what's the deal with lighthouses and golf courses?
Okay, because there are a couple.
It turns out there are a lot, actually. So I'm going to get to the content of our episode today because I found an article that inspired me. It was Lynx Magazine, which is obviously about golf.
Oh, yeah.
It's a golf-focused article. But it was the top lighthouses in golf, top 10. Number 6 on the list was, can you have a guess?
Highland Lighthouse?
Highland Lynx, yes.
Excellent.
So it was the top lighthouses in golf, not necessarily the best golf courses that have lighthouses.
Oh, what?
There's some crossover, like the best lighthouse at a golf course versus the best golf course
okay.
at a lighthouse.
So it's more lighthouse forward than golf forward.
This particular article, yes.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting for a golf magazine, especially an internet publication. But
did they have like the history of each one in their article?
They had a quick overview. I can actually bring it on screen here.
Okay, I'm kind of curious. Just like how well are they representing?
Oh, I can't view it anymore. Hold on. What's another...
You could probably still scroll down. It's just that you couldn't see it very well.
What's another browser? Firefox. Haha.
You have that on your computer?
Just 1 minute. I just need 1 minute. I can hack into the mainframe.
I just need one minute.
I can hack in. Just give me 1 minute. Look, three of three free articles remaining this month.
Amazing.
Thanks, Lynx Magazine. And thank you, Firefox. So I'm going to zoom.
Zooming in.
Well, so I can see. I've got the old man glasses on. So we're not going to read the whole article.
No, I just want to see like.
I'll give you an example.
How much they're working.
So we'll go Tasmania. This one's beautiful.
Cobble Beach. Oh my gosh!
It's been
amazing.
Added to my list. We'll come back.
Here it's added to your list.
Uh huh.
I latched onto that so fast. I was like, I'm doing that next. Fine, I'll leave it.
So here we have the coverage of Highland Lynx, and if you don't know, when we visited Cape Cod, we played 9 holes at Highland Lynx. I kind of wish we played 18, but it is a 9-hole course.
Yes, we just did twice.
We think it's the oldest Lynx in the United States. And I've only played a couple Lynx style courses, but we'll talk about that. What that means is it's along the water. There's usually not a lot of trees. Mm-hmm. The characteristics of the golf course are such that it's based on the beach landscape.
Yes,
so there's sandy greens. This one was built in the 1800s, but their coverage here says North Truro, Massachusetts, which is accurate. It's a 9-hole treasure perched along cliffs overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. The Scottish-inspired course, which had originally had San Greens when it was founded in the late 1800s, is one of the oldest golf facilities in Cape Cod and is situated next to the Highland Light Station that's owned by the National Park Service.
Okay, so they don't have a lot of details. They actually really don't have any details about the lighthouse. So.
Yeah. They have good photos, and then I think they want you to kind of delve further.
Yeah, they want you to do your own research.
So there's this, and then another citation of mine on this episode. Right. So this is like the top 10 also. Kauai. Mm. I was mad I missed this one.
Oh, beautiful.
When I was in Kauai. Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Hey. We should do that honeymoon style.
Good old golf course.
Ireland?
Yeah, not in March or January or February.
What?
I think Ireland's more of a summer trip. If anyone knows about Ireland and wants to reach out, please do so.
Yeah.
That's one of the... I'm going to get sidetracked, but look at this. This green right by the base.
See, that
of,
is riprap that I actually want to walk over. It's flat.
So,
maybe, I mean, as far as I know.
The beginning of this, you're going to see our location. We're talking about one golf course, two lighthouses today. Came from my research for our honeymoon. And if you're not familiar, Emily and I are getting married.
Married.
In December of this year. Yep. Married.
You wait for me to do that every time.
And so I'm looking to plan a honeymoon.
Yeah, I put him in charge of honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm kind of like, I'm getting tense because I usually have my fingers all in the pie of vacation planning. So it makes me nervous to just be like, what are you cooking up over there?
Yep. I cook a lot. When it comes to these types of pies.
Oh, yeah. Well, golf course and lighthouses, that sounds like an amazing activity for a honeymoon.
It does. It crosses our two interests at the deepest level. Mm-hmm. Also, I will say this author who did this article, I can't find his name. Oh, Eric. I was going to say called Brian. Eric M.
Dude.
He also mentioned in the other article that I read that shows more lighthouses that there are several golf courses that have the word lighthouse in them that have no lighthouse.
Oh.
Or that the lighthouse is not even visible. Like it's over there. It's
like, we're close by.
Oh, it's 1.2 miles on the other side of this.
You sully the name.
Like if you look up lighthouse, you're going to find a lot of church stuff if you're in our area.
Yes. Like beacons of hope sort of thing.
The lighthouse church. They don't even have a lighthouse.
We have lighthouse stuff around us. And I'm like, whatever.
So what's the deal, right? That's the history buoy. We talked about Highland Links. We get it. If you get to one of these courses, especially Highland Links, in our experience, you'll understand that there's a significant crossover where you could just go and play golf, and the lighthouse is a key feature of the things you're going to look at. It's beautiful.
Nice.
It's awesome. First order lens. But if you just go to the lighthouse, you're also going to be going through the golf course property, which is true of a lot of these things. So there's a crossover, right? There's local history and culture around lighthouses and some of these historic courses. Lynx-style courses are always on the coast, and so often are lighthouses.
Yeah.
And then, like we talked about, the view. It's a wonderful view to have a lighthouse and a coastline.
So exciting. So
that's my buoy of the day. And we are back.
Is this like a picture that's relevant to our thing today?
It sure is. This is one of the two lighthouses
really
at
nice.
The golf course. If this photo is a little blurry, and you're going to probably see it again later. But if you look down to the left, you're going to see some fairways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where would you guess that this is?
Oh, I see rocky, maybe some cactus. So I'm going to say Arizona.
Mm.
Is it close?
It's kind of close.
We're in America?
No.
Okay. Mexico?
It is Mexico. Okay. And
it's got to be.
Now that we say that,
ooh.
I can say there's going to be a lot of mispronunciations in here. Okay. Sorry, folks. I never took any Spanish at all.
No.
El baño, I think, is bathroom. Por favor, I think, is please. And I think faro is lighthouse.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes.
So just get that out there. but I'm going to interrupt, not for a message from our sponsors, but instead for a Google Maps view of where we're going.
You love that.
So we're going to go down to Mexico.
Right at the tip of the little arm.
Yeah. So that's the Baja California, Baja California Sur, which I think is south.
Oh, okay.
Like surface below. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying. But right at the tip, and this is Cabo San Lucas. So when people talk about Cabo San Lucas, this is where it's at if you're going to visit Mexico.
Wait, Cabo, is that somewhere tropical? Or like, is that where people vacation?
A big vacation
destination.
So people say Cabo San Lucas. They talk about Cancun. Anyways, Cancun and then Puerto Vallarta.
Hey, these, Belize. I've been
there.
These
are the names we hear often. So
I didn't know that it was connected to Mexico. I was a child.
Oh, my gosh. So Cabo San Lucas. It's kind of actually a small town, but there's lots going on here. And the lighthouse that we were just looking at. So there's Faro de Cabo San Lucas, which is the one we had in the image.
Okay.
And then the second lighthouse is Faro Viejo, which is the old lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was very like, it looked like ruins.
Get you an idea. But there's several golf courses, and we're going to talk about one in particular that's down here. So Playa, I think, is beach. Quivira La Quivira. So. We have a street
called Quivira
in our city called Quivira. I read that it's pronounced Quivira.
Yeah, Quivira. I can see that.
So, again, I don't Spanish. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
But I'm going to close out of maps for now. So now you get an idea where we're at. But this is El Faro Viejo, which is the old lighthouse.
I want this type of stone architecture for my future house.
It's a little bit Pueblo style.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, being in Mexico.
How old?
1905.
Okay.
Not that old, surprisingly. No. But I think it's in a rough area as far as weather goes. And the construction is really interesting of this lighthouse. So we're going to talk about this lighthouse mostly. And the other one, I'll just mention what I found. I didn't find a lot, to be fair. So this is the old lighthouse.
It's hard. Any lighthouses outside the U.S. aren't as well documented.
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime we get south of the border or north of the border or east or west of the border. So the old lighthouse at Cabo Falso, Cabo San Lucas, Faro de Cabo Falso, Las Cabos, Baja California Sur, Mexico.
Wow. Go Vince.
Founded the 5th of May in 1905.
Nice.
There's a celebration each year on Cinco de Mayo.
So you need to say it right.
Yeah, every year, the Cinco de Mayo.
Just wanted to make sure.
I can tell you, this is not my language. We go to Germany, I have a chance. Gotta find some German lighthouses.
We haven't covered any of those.
I don't think we have. So I've got four pictures here. This is the first of four that are from the year 2015. There's a big celebration. Like we said, there's a celebration every year. It's it's the oldest structure in Cabo San Lucas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Before anything else? Or like, or is still surviving?
The oldest still surviving.
Okay.
Now, as you're going to see, there's lots of development in Cabo San Lucas, probably due to tourism. Also, like, I don't know how to say this, second homes.
Oh.
Like very nice destinations, whether those be Mexican or international guests.
Yeah.
So 2015, there was a couple of pictures taken. The credit's right on the photo, which is nice. But there was a big memorial that they held at the lighthouse. And it's the 110th anniversary.
Hmm.
So the first use of the lighthouse. So
the doors are nice.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. We're going to see, if you look real close, you're going to see some patchy items, to be fair. But it's been there a long time.
Yeah.
And like a lot of...
Like a lot of lighthouses.
Oh, yeah.
I see how that happened.
It is an effort to keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Boarded up windows and stuff is like par for the course. Get it?
So good.
Thank you.
In the Cabo San Lucas area, there are, this is a very well-known lighthouse, over 100 years old, photos dating back to 1905. Now that I say that, did I include those photos?
Oh.
Because I have them. In case I didn't, I'm just going to wing for a second and show you two photos. So here's one, supposedly from 1905. Dudes with donkeys.
Yes.
And fantastic hats. I can't tell. I think there was a caption on this about the construction of the lighthouse, whether it was recently completed or in the works. But you can see there is a lantern room on top of that tower.
Yeah, there is.
And at current day, there is not anymore.
It's also like very Scottish, I think.
The style?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
It's got a cupola. It appears to have a lightning rod on top.
Mm-hmm. Nice little balcony there.
Yeah, balcony with gallery. Railing. So it's a full lighthouse. There's a stair tower inside. But if this really was taken in 1905, that kind of explains the quality of the photo.
Yeah, and it looks like why is the sky whited out? Like, in a way that makes the lighthouse look like it's made of sand.
I don't know. Don't know.
It's interesting.
But cool photo. And then we have one more construction of the tower. So the structure is not yet here. Another black and white. I think that's a person up by the cupola.
Yeah, it looks like it. Just, you know, adding the finishing touches.
I don't know what they're doing. But you see ladders and framework. And the framework is actually still there as you walk around the inside of the lighthouse. Cool.
I was going to say it's cool that they build little wood frames for the doors before they build the stone around it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, you'd have to have some kind of marker for building up the doors.
Yeah, I don't know how. I've never thought about that. I don't know how this construction is categorized or how that really works. But very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, 1905. The designer and the executor of construction for this lighthouse was the engineer Joaquin Gomez Palacios.
Probably Joaquin.
Joaquin? I tried.
No, I am.
A native of Madrid, Spain.
Okay, hey.
So a Spanish man was the engineer and constructor. And we have been to Madrid. It was constructed at the turn of the 20th century. The lighthouse of the False Cape was built to guide ships safely around the peninsula's tip as they navigated through often rough waters.
I can imagine. I never thought about having to sail around this long strip of land.
Any peninsula, right?
Mm-hmm.
Often happens. So it's between the Pacific Ocean and the Sea of Cortez.
Cortez.
So
wasn't that the guy?
It's inland of the Baja del Sur.
Okay.
So between there and mainland Mexico.
Yeah.
So what are you saying? Isn't that the guy?
Isn't the guy
Cortez.
Who, Cortez.
It's like a pirate's name.
Isn't it the guy, he was Spanish, who came over to find America or something? Let me do a quick look.
That wasn't Christopher Columbus you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about a Spanish guy.
The Spaniards came to...
Oh, Conquistador. Who led expedition that caused the fall of the Aztec Empire.
Asshole.
Okay, so I knew that.
Rude.
We lost significant culture because of this doofus.
If you have seen the movie Apocalypto, I believe it is a depiction of Cortez at the end, landing.
So is Road to El Dorado.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought of. I was like, you know, when Miguel is like, Cortez.
Cortez. Have you, side note, have you seen Apocalypto?
No.
It is Mel Gibson directed the film.
Okay.
So kind of a wild card. But it's basically, I heard him interviewed recently. He wanted to make a chase movie, like a car chase, except on foot. That was the original premise.
I like those kind of movies.
And it's in the Aztec, early Mexico days. I don't know intelligently how to say that, but cool movie. If you're interested, big action movie.
Aztec-y is a term that I would use to describe.
Aztec-y. So the Sea of Cortez, right, is the location for a lot of those ships.
Mm-hmm.
The location of the lighthouse was strategic, but also easily mistaken for the nearby Cape San Lucas.
Oh, no.
Thus the name False Cape. This is the False Cape.
Shoot.
The lighthouse served faithfully as an aid to navigation, and its light was a welcoming sight for ships arriving from distant ports. So recently, which is shown in this photo, the lighthouse was restored. So the restoration you're going to see, they did not put a lantern room atop the lighthouse, which kind of makes me sad.
Yeah.
I think it's because the other lighthouse, which is Faro de Cabo San Lucas, which I think was built 1980s. You can't really tell, but you're going to see where I think that. I think that's a real lighthouse in still in action today.
Okay.
So you can go up to it. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So the restoration of the old lighthouse was around the year 2000. In the late 1900s, not much more than a base remained of the lighthouse built in 1890. Yeah. I thought 1905. Maybe that was the lighting. But the spectacular view is still available from 500 feet above the water. So
500 feet.
A lot of the information I was able to find here on the old lighthouse is based off of people's experiences in visiting the area. So this is an anecdote from, let's say, the late 1990s.
Okay.
They say, in addition to the lighthouse, it has the remains of a shipwreck below. Turtles use the beach to lay their eggs, which I've seen photos of. Pretty cool. And to get there, go down this road, there's a dirt road, and then you're at the lighthouse. Access to this lighthouse has changed, and how you can get there and what's there, and what land it's on, and we will talk about that.
Excellent.
But before I forget, I'm really not going to cover the other lighthouse much. I don't know much about it, but Faro de Cabo San Lucas, it's still there. It's an active aid to navigation, and you can get there. If you want to, there are hikes you can find to get to it, and there's a road that goes up to it.
Yeah.
It's higher in elevation than this one, I think by 200 feet. It's 700 feet up.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So.
And I didn't think about it, but you can tell from this photo how high up we are above the water.
It is.
It just goes on forever.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot.
Wow. Okay, so they did a really good job restoring it, even though, like, obviously it couldn't salvage the lantern room.
So I'm showing images now from
October
of 1989 and then another image from 2014 after the restoration.
And they did some nice landscaping, did a nice retaining wall.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
So and good for them. I don't know if it's the city that does this or Mexico as a country. I don't know who funds it or does the work.
Yeah.
But good for them. Before the restoration, it looks like maybe a fire or several fires happened in the facility. The large door to what else? I think it's the keeper's house.
Mm-hmm.
Is just gone. Large, it's just laying on the ground.
Yeah, it's like blown out.
So likely it was vandalized. Likely tourists and other youngins and whatnot. So the restoration did a really good job to make it into something that's really appealing to go by.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're regularly allowed in. I couldn't find anything on tours, but I do have a couple ways that you can see this lighthouse that we're going to cover.
I feel like the inside of the keeper's area would be the most exciting.
Yeah. If you can't get up to the lantern room because it's not there.
Oh, yeah. That would do it.
So I'm going to show you a video off of Facebook, and I do not speak Spanish. Once again.
Okay.
So I think this is a tourism promotion video, and I'm just going to let it play without volume while we kind of talk. But here's this gal, and she's going to take you
through the
lighthouse.
Oh, she's taking us in?
We will see the inside and some clips. So I think this is about 4 minutes, and I think it's just going to play while we talk.
Oh, the doors are so beautiful.
But small little squad of folks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk about access to this lighthouse. So I have three dates where people made comments. So as of January 2008, which is before the restoration, the access road to the beach and the lighthouse has been chained off.
Okay.
There's a guard at the entrance gate advising the original access road is now private property.
Shoot!
Most of the area is undergoing some sort of development. We will continue to look for an access point at the section of the beach.
Oh, no. Like, they're developing the area around the lighthouse?
Yes.
No!
Yeah. But.
So sad.
You're going to see, and interrupt me anytime if you see something going on, but we will walk, they do walk through the lighthouse main areas here. So that was 2008. If you go back, I have a picture of people riding horses. It's not a very good quality picture, but it's in the 90s on some vacation, riding horses on the beach down below. And you can see, you can just go up to the lighthouse.
Okay.
There's like no, it's like clearly open. Something. No, it's just sand. But
how do you get up there from sand?
You could hike up or ride the horses up.
I feel like 500 feet's like
it's
a lot.
500 feet. It's not a cliff, but it's 500 feet.
Okay,
in quick elevation.
It looks like a cliff.
So we're seeing some shots of the inside.
Wow.
I think they show this spiral staircase terminating, like breaks halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
So this is post restoration. So I'd say it's really focused on the outside. A lot of the improvements, and then of course the retaining wall we talked about. I think that's going to help the structure stay there for a while.
Yeah. But yeah, all being on sand.
I don't think they've ever moved this lighthouse in what I saw. So the guy just pounding on the wall, yeah, saying it's a strong it's structure, something like that. I looked for translations and everything.
Yeah.
Couldn't find it. 2008, there was development. No one knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
2015, post-restoration, El Faro Viejo, the old lighthouse, sits high on the dunes of the Pacific coast of Cabo San Lucas within Quivira Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh hole is framed by El Faro Viejo, a 19th century lighthouse that also happens to be one of the oldest structures in Cabo San Lucas.
Amazing.
Found in 1905. Some recurring info.
Yeah.
The old lighthouse is currently available, accessible via Quivira Golf Course and development.
Okay.
So they did allow people in when they were building the golf course and if you golfed.
Okay.
And then in 2021, renovations are being made around the old lighthouse, making it only accessible with a previous reservation for a guided visit in very strict hours.
Okay.
The entrance is via the Quivira Golf Course, and the old routes via the beach are in constant surveillance by the security of the golf course. So it's my understanding the only way, well, we'll get to some more ways. The best way to see this is to be a guest at the resorts. There are like several resorts that get you access to the golf course. And you actually can go right by the lighthouse in between holes.
Yeah.
And you're going to see it on several holes. And then
I would definitely do that.
I think you don't actually have to play golf, but we'll get to that if you want to. You want to see it. I reached out to that resort owner to ask about access and to ask about golf greens fees. Like, what does it cost if you want to go play? Because it's a we're going to get
nice,
there.
Nice,
it's a beautiful course. So today, the lighthouse is on the course. And the course, I'm going to play another video on screen while I talk, is incredible. And it's a minute long. I might actually play it a couple times just while I talk about the course.
All right.
But it's just like a very pretty, you know. This is the course's content. So they're showing, look at the golf course. Oh, and also,
look at the water.
Look at the, that's the
gorgeous
Turtle Beach.
Gorgeous. Sorry for people who can't see what we're looking at. But go to our YouTube and you too can see.
Please do check out the YouTube.
Oh, the amount of balls we lose is just ridiculous.
Yeah. You'd bring some extra balls. You'd have a good time.
Don't worry about it.
Have a margarita. But beautiful area. It's a whole resort, but the word golf is in the name of the resort. You know, it's kind of their main feature. As club members and resort golfers at Quivira Golf Club can attest, the cart path that leads from the sixth green to the seventh tee skirts a jaw-dropping stretch of sheer granite cliffs.
Oh, gosh.
Before arriving at an equally unforgettable sight, the region's original lighthouse.
Amazing.
Situated at kilometer zero at True Land's End. Cool.
Oh, that is cool.
Mm-hmm. True Land's End. The exact place where the Sea of Cortez meets the Pacific Ocean, the fortress-like lighthouse is the oldest standing structure in Cabo San Lucas. Recurring information. Source of inspiration for poets, painters, and photographers. It is by far the most famous lighthouse in Baja California, sir. It is also an enduring symbol of the region's navigational history and a cultural marker for the community.
Very good.
Even the most score-conscientious golfer cannot help but marvel at the sturdy construction and octagonal stone tower at this national historic monument perched at the edge of a cliff more than 500 feet above the thrashing surf. Recently renovated, it was designed and built by the engineer we talked about, and while no longer operational, this sturdy edifice, fully exposed to the elements, has survived intact for over 110 years.
Beautiful. So, beautifully well written.
Sorry, I'm reading and reading.
Yeah, that's good.
Peering down on the course from its rocky mountain perch nearly 700 feet above the sea level is the newer Cabo Lighthouse, a cylindrical red and white striped tower that dates to 1959. I was wrong. Sorry. Don't even know my own content.
Okay. No, it's fine.
Faro Viejo may be dark, but this functioning lighthouse emits a white flash at night to guide ship traffic after dark. Interesting content from the course. I would say that they're doing a good job. Here's a shot kind of reverse of what we just saw of the two lighthouses before restoration. Pretty rough, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was on its way out before they fixed it up. So did the golf course fix it up, or you were saying like you don't know who
did the restoration? I don't think the golf course fixed it up.
Okay.
But I think the golf course purchased the land.
Okay, because it is a good, I could see how it would be a, like, a pleasant point of focus for a golf course to be like, and look at this history. Like, look how beautiful.
Yeah. And who knows, like, there's some weirdness with taxes.
Oh, for sure.
Historical sites in the United States. I don't know if Mexico has their own set of laws.
Yeah.
That I'm sure they do. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. You could fall off the edge of any point of this golf course.
Theoretically. Yeah, just don't go over the edge. Don't go looking for your ball over there.
Yeah.
You're in that sand trap, just pay attention.
Oh, my gosh. But it's a sand trap. And the other side is just cliff edge.
There's another green going up to the newer lighthouse.
Beautiful.
Some desert area. Obviously, it's a links course. It's a very difficult, narrow fairways. And it's another green just down on the cliff edge. So beautiful. I imagine the wind would play hell on your shots.
I mean, look at the flag.
The flag is moving.
Also,
I don't know if you noticed, all the shots we've seen, the ocean has been kind of rough.
And it's like choppy. It's not like even waves.
Yeah. But
I bet it's very windy.
We are going to look at the resorts here soon. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. So, is this you trying to pitch something for our honeymoon?
No, we're not going to go to Mexico. That's the whole thing. So,
well, that's so sweet of you to actually like listen to my requests.
And it's, I got to, for the people, they got to know, why not Mexico, Emily?
I just don't want to. I don't know why.
You don't want to go here?
I've heard no good stories about like people visiting Mexico. It's always like getting sick from water or getting sick from drinks and food. And like, I have a fear of that. So I have an aversion to going to Mexico. I know that there's more good stories than bad. But like even one of my close friends from my friend group went to Mexico and got a parasite. What am I supposed to feel?
Well, to be fair, and I don't want to turn you off to travel altogether, but I know that story from India. I know that story from China.
I know.
I even know that story from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, us Americans have pretty consistent diets. We're eating foods that we don't usually eat. Way back in the day, parts of Mexico, like in like Tijuana, like my dad told me a story if he saw ice being handled like on a sidewalk. Like, and no, that's a long time ago.
Yeah,
a very different place than where we're talking about. But I think that you can be safe from getting sick if you eat at the right places and you're careful about water selection and whatnot. And from what I read, especially in Mexico, that's really a thing of the past on all of the resorts and all the nice, like developed areas, anywhere that you would go, it's not a street vendor. A street vendor may have different handling of food or whatever. So maybe, I don't know. I don't want to turn everybody and you off to traveling, but I don't think it's Mexico specific.
I know. That's just where I've heard the most. So it's just like, it's one of those obvious ones that I'm like, I don't want
to
go.
Well, you've probably heard it the most because it's the best place for us to travel here from the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Affordable, beautiful. Anyways. I'm trying, folks. But we talked about how how Mexico is not one of the places that we're looking right now for our honeymoon. Maybe a future trip to Mexico would be in the cards, but still working on it.
Yeah, I'd have to prepare myself.
So I'm going to show us another site from the resort. So Pueblo Bonito is the name of the four resorts. Look at that. Do you see that?
Yeah.
The green is on a cliff. Very beautiful, same area it's showing. And
how many
balls
do you think are down there?
Oh, infinite.
In the cracks of the rocks and stuff.
Just such a beautiful place. And then you can go through and you can see, we're just going to browse for a little bit, but there are resorts. So that was the golf page.
Oh, look at that.
Beach. Specifically in Cabo, there are, what is this? Sunset Beach, Rose, Los Cabos. And then you start getting into Monte Cristo. Nice. But then there's also, I don't know how to say this. Mazatlan?
Mazatlan.
I don't know. A lot of these are, you know, so there's eight total. They're all on the ocean front. This is the one I think I looked at was Pacifica. It's closest to the course. But you can play at the course if you're a guest. Or if you're an owner, I have a fact sheet here. So Cavira Los Cabos, there's a roughly 1,900 acre community on a stretch of land destined to be the crown jewel of Los Cabos.
Ooh.
Old Lighthouse Club is a private gated residential enclave, blah, blah, blah. And so there are, what's this? There's a bunch of homes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
13 spectacular custom home sites nestled atop dramatic dunes, perched 300 feet above the ocean. Prices start at $2
million. Oh, God.
But it's all private. They say the average annual temperature is 78 degrees Fahrenheit with 340 days of sunshine per year.
Whoa. How is that possible?
That's what I'm saying.
Also, an average of 78 over the entire year makes me suspicious. Like, what is it usually? Like 100 degrees?
No, that's the average is 78.
Yeah, if you take the average over the entire year, that can include some very low lows and very high highs.
If we go to weather.com, let's look at, why is it so small?
I don't know.
We're looking at a 65-inch TV, so I don't know if I'm blowing your guys' eyes away. So today, 71 degrees. We're going to go to monthly. What?
Oh, you're looking ahead. Maybe go backwards.
No, it usually shows averages.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, never mind. It's not international.
We don't get to have the nice things.
But really what I want to do is look at this on hotels.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at Pueblo Bonito, Pacifica was the one that I mentioned. All inclusive.
It's interesting. It's like this big resort building surrounded by just sand and rocks.
Yeah.
I think, you know how a lot of resorts, they're not off by themselves. They're like nestled up to a bunch of other resorts.
Yeah.
They want to maximize the, you know, the area.
Yeah, there are, I think they own a big chunk of land and they have their resorts a little bit spread out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it keeps people probably from going between them, maybe.
Yeah, and it would feel more like exclusive.
Yeah. But big, beautiful beach. Cabanas. There's one of the rooms has a pool in the room, like overlooking the ocean, like your own private pool.
Yeah, like a little infinity pool.
Kayaking.
Nice rock formations.
Let's get back on track, Hombens. So if you're not a golfer, there are other ways that residents or guests of these places can visit Faro Viejo. Q Life. A lifestyle club that offers a comprehensive and synergistic approach to overall individual and group well-being features yoga lessons in the beautiful location of the lighthouse.
Oh.
As well as guided tours through the natural trails around the lighthouse.
Okay.
While it's man-made, Faro Viejo is every bit as iconic as El Arco, which is the natural sea arch visible from vantage points throughout Cabo San Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Very famous, large opening arch. So that is actually all I had.
Wow.
For one golf course, two lighthouses, Cabo San Lucas.
I wish we could know more about the second lighthouse is like red and white striped on top of the crest of a...
The high point, for
high
sure.
High point, yeah. And wish we could know more about it. White flashing.
Yeah, white flash. There's some small buildings down here that are kind of cropped out of this photo. They might be like research stations. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have a keeper's quarters there.
Yeah.
But I think that it's probably news or weather, telephone, you know.
Probably.
Because of its position. Pretty cool. There is an airport there, Cabo San Lucas, so it might be related to that as well.
Oh, true. Very nice.
I've done some talking. I've got some people at work weighing in on if we had a t-shirt, what color the t-shirt would be.
Really?
Yeah. I said, what about these colors? Like, which one would be the base t-shirt color? We're talking comfort colors, of course.
Of course.
I think the light blue that's on our tower is most appropriate.
Yeah. And I, when I made a shirt, that's what I used.
Yeah. I forgot about your shirt.
I know. Well, I saw it in the bottom of my drawer yesterday. And I was like, oh, I got to wear that.
I thought it was appropriate. Golf season's coming up. Mm-hmm. The Masters is coming.
When's the Masters?
April, I believe. And so I kind of did some research and thought maybe let's just cover one of these for now.
Yeah, very good. I enjoyed that.
Beautiful spot. If they want to sponsor us to go visit, that'd be great.
That'd be spectacular. We can try out the course and let you know how many balls we lose.
Yeah.
Well, you can check out our Instagram at The Lighthouse Lowdown. Or you can go to our website, thelighthouselowdown.com, where you can watch our videos, listen to our episodes, and you can also leave us a review. And we love reviews. So we hope you catch us next time on The Lighthouse Lowdown.
Thank you.